The universes, so foreign ones that don't belong to our two twin universes. Quetzal, 44. Actually, we have already concerned ourselves scientifically with foreign universes for a long time, but so far, we haven't been able to gain any concrete insights that would enable us to penetrate into such universes. 45. We have knowledge and proofs of the existence of foreign universes, but it is still impossible for us to break them open. Therefore, we can presently only visit the Dern's sister universe, that is the Dern's twin universe and, thus, the dull universe. 46. However, our scientists as well as Arskit's people and their highly developed allies are working very hard on solving the problem at hand. 47. A success is likely to be expected, however, in at least 15 years. Billy, that would be shortly after the turn of the millennium. If I remember this in the new millennium, then I will ask you or another one of you about how the relevant researches stand. Quetzal, 48. That will remain open for you. Billy, somehow, I will surely remember it, even though my memory has suffered greatly since my health collapse. Quetzal, 49. I also think that this will be the case. 50. Your memory surely won't let you down, as you tend to say. Billy, some Jace once explained to me, in response to one of my questions, that antimatter is real and that this was already discovered by your ancestors more than 50,000 years ago and has been used by you since that time as beamship propulsion. Since then, have you researched and developed new techniques for this? Quetzal, 51. Of course. 52. Negative matter, as we call antimatter, has already been used by us for 50 millennia for all sorts of purposes, and of course, also many other researches were connected with it and still are, therefore, new insights will also constantly be won and will create new ones, with which negative matter is brought to application or is used. Billy, understood. But tell me, are you also familiar with meteoropathy? Since my accident in Iskenderun in Turkey on the 4th of August, 1964, as well as since my severe health collapse on the 4th of November, 1982, I suffer from meteoropathy at the center, particularly in reference to my lost arm, with which I address excessive phantom pains, which can sometimes drive me up the wall and make me half insane. Quetzal, 53. Physical meteoropathy is caused by planetary as well as solar conditioned fluctuations or variations that affect humans and animals as well as plants, and indeed, in all genera and species, when these have any organic or physical injuries. 54. These include scarring, on the bones as well as on the skin, flesh, muscles, veins, and organs. 55. With us, however, this meteoropathy no longer appears among humans because with all resulting injuries, as well as with illnesses, if such would exceptionally occur once, which is virtually impossible, however, healing measures and healing processes are carried out and are brought to application, which completely repair all injuries to bones, flesh, skin, and organs down to the last detail, consequently, no scarring or other factors of injury and, thus, no after effects remain that could cause meteoropathy. Billy, then I have a question about aromas and smells. Where, actually, do humans perceive aromas and smells in truth? It can't just be the olfactory organ, right? And what exactly is to be thought of the bark flower theory? Quetzal, 56. Aromas and smells aren't just perceived through the olfactory organ, that is the nose, but also through the skin. 57. In addition, the palate and the tongue play a certain role, as this is also the case in terms of taste. 58. The actual center of the perception of aromas, perception of smells, and perception of taste, however, is the limbic system, in which all relevant perceptions concentrate and are processed. 59. Through this processing of aromas and smells, as well as the associations of taste, thoughts and feelings arising from this are likewise triggered, as well as emotions, certain behaviors, body reactions, actions, organ reactions, skin reactions, and memories. 60. Aromas, smells, and tastes also affect the immune system, from which it follows that they may also be health-promoting or injurious to health, namely depending on their type and intensity. 61. Of course, this is also valid for the psyche and for the consciousness. 62. Concerning bark flower therapy, the same is valid, like with the application of other similar or parallel therapies or other utilizations of aromas and smells. 63. This also applies to flavorings. 64. All these substances should not and may not be handled thoughtlessly and carelessly. 65. But unfortunately, this often isn't considered by the earth person because he always chooses to exaggerate these things, which often causes more harm than good. Only minor or no successes at all are achieved. 66. This is also so in reference to bark flower therapy, which truly doesn't reach the form of application that would basically correspond to what is right. 67. For example, when psychological interests are concerned, bark flower therapy, as a rule, doesn't work at all or only partially, and indeed, even with months of application. 68. So the rule is that solely through the mental and emotional adjustment of the person during these months are psychological troubles removed, which is then erroneously attributed to the bark flower therapy, which is brought to application in far too low concentration. 69. In and of itself, bark flower therapy is just as good in its value as any other aromatherapy, smell therapy, and taste therapy. But all these therapies become useless or injurious to health if misused, which can be the case both through an underdosage but also through an excessive dosage. 70. Unfortunately, through the profiteering and greed as well as through the ignorance of the earth people, a lot of nonsense, untruthfulness, deception, and charlatanism are pursued in this area in many ways. 71. In terms of this, and especially with respect to the general lack of understanding in these areas, the applications of aromas, smells, and tastes require extreme caution. 72. In this regard, authoritative researches and insights of a scientific nature are not yet given on the earth with the humans in the way that they could be referred to as actual results and knowledge. 73. Everything is, so to speak, still in its children's shoes, as you tend to say. 74. Real research results as well as real insights of a scientific nature in this regard should first be made toward the end of this or at the beginning of the new millennium. 75. Only after that will everything slowly take a turn for the better, in regards to the utilization of aromas and smells as well as flavorings. Billy, we on the earth have consulates or embassies in all countries. These have the task of representing citizens who belong to their home countries in foreign countries and also of performing other duties that result with their host country and the home country, whereby also purely political matters must be settled by these institutions, and in particular, the transmission of messages also falls to the embassies. But now, here in the world, it is the case, as you once told me, that in the future, more and more of these consulates and embassies will be threatened, invaded, occupied, and perhaps even blown up into the air by terrorists, lunatics, and assassins, etc. Of course, under certain circumstances, this will also bring a lot of trouble for the people who reside in the environment, perhaps even ruin and death. Here, I ask myself, how is this with you? For you certainly also have similar institutions, through which home country citizens are represented and through which messages, etc. are transmitted, right? Also, such enterprises are probably necessary in regards to contact with your federation and the governments as well as with those who don't belong to your alliance. Quetzal, 76. That is quite correct. 77. We also have such institutions. Of course, but on our own planets, they aren't related to the same political framework as the one you know on Earth. 78. Purely planetary institutions in relation to this only have the duties of care, order, and administration, but no political aspects, etc., for our worlds are guided by the spirit leadership of a central form, whereby the institutions mentioned, then, are the actual executive bodies. 79. Of course, the same are also responsible in certain cases, which are specified very much together with the central spirit leadership, for particular aspects concerning the governments of planets of our Federation as well as with governments of worlds that are foreign to the Federation. 80. But overall, they are only representatives who exercise their duties on behalf of the central spirit leadership who, in turn, represents the people's will, which is fathomed in each case by planet-wide votes. 81. Such votes, for which you say elections among yourselves, take place in accordance with proposals, etc. from the people, but also in accordance with the ideas and proposals of the central spirit leadership or with regard to advice from the High Council. 82. In the past, when separation and discord still prevailed among our peoples, institutions of the aforementioned kind also existed, of course, whereby these were likewise exposed to attacks by discontented ones, etc., as this will also be the case on the Earth in the coming time in different countries, which is why the institution's own alert forces and protective forces will no longer be sufficient and will be reinforced over time by the police and army. 83. Thus, our very distant ancestors had the same problems with discontented ones, with fanatics, terrorists, and assassins, with regard to attacks and destructions, etc. on the aforementioned institutions, whereby also racial hatred, hatred of foreigners, and other degenerate extremism played important roles. 84. In order to protect the institutions, and indeed, also a wide variety of others that had official forms of government, a decision was put into effect, which stipulated that all governmental buildings and administrative buildings, etc. be banned from all residential areas and be transferred to uninhabited areas that were exclusively valid for the purpose of the institutions and that, of course, also penetration by water, land, or air, as well as for a penetration of an underground kind. 86. In this connection, there were also guards who closely monitored every person and every vehicle or aircraft, when allowed entry, driving, or flying into the secured area. 87. Through this, unauthorized ones were prevented from entering the premises and causing harm as well as disaster and destruction and endangering human lives. Billy, it is always said that sea salt should be much healthier than regular table salt. Probably for this reason, namely that it is supposed to be healthier, it is also sold at much higher prices than normal salt. Moreover, the prices are set so high that they are often 40 or 50 times higher, or even more, than what traditional table salt costs. Quetzal, 88. That is undoubtedly an evil scam because sea salt doesn't contain any better or higher values than actual table salt. 89. Both salts correspond to the same values. 90. Therefore, when it is maintained that sea salt contains better values or is healthier than the so-called normal salt, this corresponds to a lie, if not fraud, since very high prices are demanded for it and, thus, dishonest business practices are pursued with this. Billy, you once explained to me, as some Jays and Tua have also done this, that Nazi doctors as well as Nazi surgeons, in collaboration with Nazi psychologists and Nazi psychiatrists, were involved in the sterilization by force of thousands of women of the Jewish faith, as well as members of the Sinti and Roma and also criminals and those hindered in consciousness, during World War II. You also said that the same activities were also quite common in Switzerland, as well as in Sweden and France, in America and in the Soviet Union. In Sweden alone, so you said, more than 60,000 women were maltreated in this inhumane and legally untenable form. Quetzal, 91. That is correct. 92. But the whole thing still has no end, for in different countries, this inhumane practice is still secretly operated, and indeed, even in Switzerland, in France, the Soviet Union, and in America. 93. But also in Sweden, this doing is still common in secret. 94. Of course, this fact is vehemently denied in all countries, and this evil is practiced under the strictest secrecy. 95. As we know, Switzerland already practiced this inhuman unworthiness at the end of the 19th century, while Sweden and France first began with this practice in the 20s of the 20th century, which is also true of the Soviet Union as well as America. 96. The justifications for these atrocities ranged from preventing or eradicating unworthy life up to the need for relevant researches, in order to gain medical insights, etc., from which new medicines and methods of health treatment could allegedly be investigated and produced. 97. But overall, this action corresponded and corresponds to an inhumane, criminal act beyond compare. 98. There is never an excuse for this. Billy, I think so, too. But when I keep in mind how these women suffered in their thoughts and feelings and in their psyches, as well as in their consciousnesses, and how they must continue to suffer, then I blow my top off. Yet it seems quite absurd to me if I overexert myself over this, so it's probably better that I let time run its course and wait until sooner or later, everything comes to the public's attention, and through this, these crimes against women will be combated and come to an end. I still think it's important to say, which you have mentioned, that particularly in Switzerland, the authorities, such as the poor officers and guardianship authorities, in collaboration with the doctors of psychiatry and surgery, were the criminal and felonious gang that was responsible for these horrible atrocities, along with certain aid agencies that tore families apart and destroyed them, such as the Pro Juventute, about which I also know how to sing a bad song, and indeed, not just with respect to the wanderers, that is the Yenish, through whom a tremendous amount of suffering was caused by this organization. And since I'm already talking about the aid agencies, then I would also like to address you on the international aid agencies as well as on the children's aid agencies and on the United Nations, that is the UN. Regarding many of these relief agencies or organizations, I have had very bad experiences in different countries, but I've also heard incredible complaints from children, adolescents, and young as well as older women, who told me their concerns and problems. So for example, when I was in Merauli in New Delhi in India, each week, I picked up a small hand cart full of instant milk at a European and American aid agency, in order, then, to feed it to the dogs in our animal station. For this milk, donated by the people of the United States, we paid $5 to $10 in each case. On the other hand, I experienced, like in a sect church, various food that was donated in such a way, which was sold to the believers, and it was such that those who received the most were the ones who had donated most diligently to the collections. But that's not all, because what I saw myself and what children, adolescents, and women also complained to me was that they often only received donated food or other relief supplies if they fulfilled the sexual desires of the members or helpers of the aid agencies or when they let themselves be sexually abused and, thus, raped without resistance. This was likewise explained to me by children, adolescents, and younger as well as older women, who, as refugees, were dependent on food or any other relief supplies. Several of those who complained to me of their suffering were pregnant or had given birth to children through these criminal machinations of the helpers of aid agencies. Quetzal, 99. The unpleasant events relating to this, as well as your experiences from your childhood, are well known to me. 100. It really is a shame, how these so-called aid agencies have behaved in earlier times and what power they have exercised, to which also the authorities, psychiatrists, doctors, surgeons, poor care and guardianship officers have stooped. 101. But likewise to be described as a shame and as criminally inhumane are also the events mentioned by you and the conduct of the members and helpers of the aid agencies. 102. This also applies to the relevant criminal machinations of the fallible ones who belonged to the UN. 103. But unfortunately, it is also the case that these practices still continue to be operated by the irresponsible ones, and therefore, there is still no end in sight in this regard. 104. Still, nothing about this has become public, therefore, everything will continue for quite some time. 105. And when the time comes when everything reaches the public's attention, it will be such, as it is always the case when any atrocities and crimes are uncovered, that the responsible persons will act, often against better knowledge, as though they didn't have the slightest idea of everything and, thus, will be totally shocked. 106. This can be expected with a clear conscience, in reference to the remark, because we know the circumstances and machinations of the fallible ones in the aforementioned form very well through our own observations, therefore, I can also confirm your statements. Billy, I can remember everything very well, and it still gives me pain today when I think of the pains and sufferings of all of those children, adolescents, and women, who complained to me of their powerlessness. The fact that I beat the crap out of two such scoundrels, when I caught them in a rape, still gives me satisfaction to this day. But something else. A doctor urged me to ask you if you could provide information about whether susceptibility to kidney stones is inheritable. In regards to these matters, quite insufficient insights still prevail among the earthly doctors, etc. Therefore, it would really be of importance if you could provide some enlightenment. You should also be certain of the thanks of the doctor. Quetzal, 107. That is actually the case, yes. 108. Susceptibility to kidney stones can be inheritable through a gene contingent, metabolic defect. Billy, and what specific substances form kidney stones, or where do they come from? Quetzal, 109. Calcium oxalate stones, as kidney stones are caused by surrogus, rhubarb, nuts, and beetroots, garden beet, red beets, etc. 111. However, other products are also to be mentioned, such as cocoa and cocoa products. 112. Also, poor nutrition, deformities of the kidneys, as well as urinary obstruction and urinary tract infections can be causes for kidney stones. 113. However, foods that contain a lot of oxalates are particularly the ones that form kidney stones. 114. What is also significant in this regard is sugar, which is why sugar-rich foods and beverages, etc. shouldn't be enjoyed in excess but only in moderation and with a limit. 115. Added to this is the liquid water, which plays a very important role, so that the toxins and, thus, also the excess oxalate are washed from the body. 116. Therefore, it is essential that sufficient liquid is always drunk, but always only within the limits of what a person needs. 117. And since no one is the same as another in this relation, one normally requires 2 to 3 liters of water per day, while another must only drink 2 or 3 deciliters, in order to ensure the right balance of fluid for his body. 118. With exertions or heat, this can change, of course, like also, for example, through illness and, thus, also through fever. Consequently, a greater need for fluid to be supplied can then develop. 119. For your part, if I still want to come to speak on that, you're one of those people who need very little fluid, and sometimes, less than a deciliter per day, if your body absolutely requires any liquid at all. 120. This is something that many misinformed people, even doctors, can't understand or don't want to understand because it simply goes over their heads. 121. The reason for the low fluid needs of such people, as you are one of these, is to be found in the fact that there is a very high metabolism and, therefore, also a very good digestion and utilization as well as burning and conversion of the nutrients. Consequently, very few toxins are incurred, which don't burden the organism and which only sporadically have to be flushed out of the body again with very little liquid. 122. This is also true, of course, for the food wastes that form in the intestines through the burning of nutrients, which are then excreted, also sporadically, as feces. 123. What is still to be mentioned further with respect to the prevention or lower susceptibility to kidney stones in those who only drink small amounts of liquid is that they also have little food in their diet that is high in oxalates. Billy, then I now have a question about the migraine, which afflicts so many earth people. Can you tell me what triggering factors stand behind this? Quetzal, 124. A migraine is triggered by stressful situations, that is, by stress that is caused physically, in consciousness, or psychologically. 125. Such stressful situations can occur periodically, chronically, or sporadically, namely depending on how the person behaves in reference to the forms mentioned, so in consciousness, physically, or psychologically. 126. Especially in psychological and consciousness-related terms, the resulting thoughts and feelings are of the utmost importance, since these determine the state of the psyche as well as the state of the consciousness. 127. Another important factor is food that is also responsible for triggering a migraine, and to be sure, in the form when certain foods aren't tolerated by a person, as this is often the case, for example, with milk or milk products. 128. Intolerable foods release physical stressful situations that can be controlled and processed by people susceptible to migraines just as little as also the psychological and consciousness-related stress factors that are produced. 129. There may also be a predisposition to a migraine due to any health problems or a gene contingent inheritance, whereby the aforementioned stressful situations are caused. 130. It is also possible that organic or physical injuries, including all kinds of scarring, etc., can cause the release of a migraine, as well as allergies and certain diseases, by what means stressful situations can likewise be triggered. 131. And as stated, those suffering from migraines aren't able to control, process, or overcome the stress appearing in various forms, which then even leads to sufferings and barely tolerable pains. 132. Thus, all factors that lead to any stress should already be turned off in advance, of course, as far as possible. 133. This has reference to work, to dealing with others and everyday life situations, as well as to food, with which all that is incompatible should be avoided. 134. Influences for the occurrence of a migraine are also electromagnetic radiations that emanate from machines and electric cables, as well as from electric motors and from electrical appliances. 135. In addition, a strong earth radiation can also be decisive for a migraine in certain cases, as well as static electricity that accumulates in certain materials of human achievements and that comes into direct contact with those who are susceptible to migraines. 136. It is also to be said that people who are prone to migraines can also trigger these through medicines that are incompatible for them, herbs, aromas, and odors, and also through drinks that are harmful to them, as well as through personal care products like soap, balm, lotion, shampoo, and cream, etc. 137. Also a variety of oils, greases, and liquids, as well as chemicals can be triggers for migraines, if they come in contact with the skin or with the mucous membranes or the internal organs. Billy, that's tremendous, everything that plays a role there. Our medical science still knows nothing or only very little about that. And it will surely still take some time before it gets behind all these facts. May this be soon, because for those who are befallen to me,